and family, members of the community. Within the healing embrace of God's love, we have gathered here on this 31st day of January, 2013, to remember and to offer back to God the life of Harriet Messenger, and to thank God we have for the hope we have because of Christ's resurrection. A few announcements as we get started. This is a great time, if you have not already done so, to silence your cell phones. And the deacons would also of Gates Presbyterian Church would also like to invite you to a reception following the service in the adult lounge, which is down this hallway over here to the right. And now, let us worship God and hear these words from Scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Please join with me in a time of prayer. Our Lord and Savior, hear the call of your people who mourn anywhere this day. Grant your peace and the comfort of your presence, so that the living may be reminded that you are ever with your people. We who remain in the wake of death are charged with continuing what your disciples have begun and sustained. May we bring honor and glory to you, as well as to those who inspired us, loved us, raised us, and nurtured our faith in their service to you. Amen. Please stand, if you are able and comfortable to do so, to join together in the call to worship, which is printed responsively in your bulletin. In your strength I rejoice, O Lord, and in your presence my heart finds rest. You heed the heart's desire, answering the cry of the soul. You bestow blessing upon us. All praise be yours, O wondrous one.
Please be seated.
The first reading of the Word this morning is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore.
And our second scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to them, "Those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die. They cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him all of them are alive." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For the Sadducees no longer dared to ask him another question. Luke's passage for this morning opens with intrigue as an aristocratic group of priestly leaders comes to Jesus with a series of questions about a mystery that they have already considered and rejected, the resurrection. The questions are aptly timed in this gospel as they appear following Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem and preceding his arrest and crucifixion. The questions they ask are meant to ridicule Jesus, question his authority, and entrap him in a net of his own words. Jesus is more than well aware of the fact that the Sadducees refuse the idea that there is a continuation of life after death. And yet, in a very pastoral way, Jesus takes their questions seriously. He dares to offer an interpretation of the scriptures that is fluid and imaginative, something the Sadducees would never dream of doing. Jesus teaches that those who are found to be worthy of the resurrection will find that it isn't a matter of a continuation of life as we know it. Eternal life is not simply the continuation of mortal life beyond death. Whatever the reality is on the other side of earthly life, we should not think of it as a continuation of this life. It is a new life where we cannot die anymore. And Jesus goes on to say, while death is the end of many things, it is not the end of everything. Our death is not the end of God's love. We gather this morning to mourn the life of a beloved woman, Harriet Messenger. And though her earthly life has ended, we give thanks that God's love for Harriet continues. This passage from Luke may not answer all of our questions about what eternal life for Harriet looks like, but it does offer us the assurance that since Harriet was a child of God, she is a child of the resurrection. And I think that Harriet would have liked Jesus' response to the religious leaders of his time. Jesus took their theologically complicated questions and explained it very simply. Because those who have died are children of God, God keeps loving them. I can imagine her saying, "What more do you need to know?" Harriet was a woman who believed in God, was thankful for the life that God blessed her with, and lived her life finding ways to offer that love to others. Harriet shared the love that God blessed her with. For many years, she shared it with her husband, Jean, and then her daughter, Diane, and son, Tad. She shared that love with her grandsons, Ian and David. She shared it with many in this Rochester community through her work at the guidance office at Gates Chilai High School and as a secretary in a stockbroker's office in the city. Harriet also shared God's love through her church community as an active member of the Rebecca Circle and Lunch Bunch. I am sure that many of us unknowingly have washcloths and towels in our kitchen that we bought at the Church Mouse Bazaar or Ham Dinner, crocheted with love by Harriet. She also loved the way that light shined through the colors of glass, and for many years enjoyed making creations in a stained glass class. One memory I have of Harriet happened on a sunny afternoon this summer as I sat with her on Carol Balsley's back porch. We enjoyed a wonderful lunch with the Rebecca Circle, and it was a gift to see Harriet smile at the warmth in the air. And she leaned over to me. She took my hand. And she said that the day reminded her of the many beautiful summer sunny afternoons she enjoyed out in the fields as an archer. And I wasn't sure I heard her correctly. I asked, "You mean shooting arrows?" And she joked back, "They weren't cannons, Melissa." For much of her life, her and her husband, Jean, spent their time shooting archery together. Harriet was known as an instinctive shooter, or someone who uses a bow and arrow without any sights or any markings. She was the 25th person to be inducted into the State of New York Field Archer Hall of Fame. Quite a gift that God blessed her with. And as with her many gifts, Harriet was humble and unassuming about the ways that she used them to share her enjoyment of life with those around her. Today, as we remember the earthly life of Harriet, we celebrate that she is indeed a child of God. While her life here has ended, she is made whole in the promise of God's love that is for her and all of us, now and always. Amen. and now to share in a few more of those stories about her life, I invite her son, Tad, and then her daughter, Diane, to share a few of those memories.
I don't often write anything down for a talk, but I figured because I know what my emotional feelings are like, that I better write them down, otherwise I might forget them. I first of all want to thank all of you for coming and offering your love and your honor for my mother. Harriet Isabella Messenger was my mother. And I liken her love for me like the sun that streams through the window behind me, giving its light and love and nurturing strength to the plant and the cross. And I received that love every single day of my life. It didn't matter what I did. And believe me, there was a lot of things that I'm not going to tell you about that were pretty audacious, pretty risky. It was me growing up in the way I was. And my mother, no matter what I did, always gave me her love. Her love was unconditional. She was kind, gentle, tenacious, a very competitive lady without anybody really knowing about that. She was strong, the kind of inner strength that can succumb any kind of challenge. She was loyal, devoted, and faithful. She supported me in whatever I did in my life. One thing I noticed about her was that she always saw the good in people, and she held on to that truth no matter what occurred. She always saw the good and held on to that. And to give you an example of her devotion and faithfulness, I thought of, you know, what story could I tell about her? And there's a lot of different stories, but the one that it just kept coming back to me was not about her, it was about a dog. And I want to share it with you because it relates the kind of loyalty and devotion that she had towards me. I take care of about 1,500 acres of land in the Ozark Mountains, and we have some dairy cows, about 4 dairy cows in the last 20 years. And twice a day, we go out into the pastures, and we take the dairy cows to the barn, and we milk them by hand. And I had a dog who was named Sir, who used to go out there with me, and as soon as he was there, the cows would just line up in single file and walk quite briskly to the barn. And sometimes he wouldn't go because it was a hot afternoon and he was a furry collie. And so it would take a little longer. Any time that any kind of emergency would happen, like a bull would get out or the cows were rampaging all over the place, I would call upon him and he would charge up the hill and take care of it. He was very loyal. And as he grew older, he developed arthritis. He would still come out with me, and he would still herd the animals with me. But after a while, I noticed he was lumbering up the hill. And sometimes when there was a crisis, he would still lumber up the hill after it. And then there came a time when he couldn't walk very much at all. And a crisis would occur, and I would say, "Sir," and he would try his darnest to get up the hill, but he couldn't make it. But he would sit there and bark, telling the cows, "Behave yourself. This guy's going to come and get you." So every ounce of his being was there to try to help me. And that's how I see my mother, as she was throughout her whole life. No matter what I did, where I was, I always felt her love supporting me and her whole being. wanting to give, not only to me, but of my sister and her grandchildren and everyone in her family and all of her friends. She always wanted to give her love with every ounce of her being. The love that she and I have is forever. May God bless her. And may peace be with her always.
Who's here? All these strangers, but not to my mom. I see when I know. Praise the Lord. My dear mom lived for 92 years. So many memories. How do you choose some 92 years? Many emotions. We go through pain and a lot of joy. I've had a challenge to try to summarize her life here. Well, I've learned things I never knew before from her notes. And a journal. I found a journal. I was so excited of her early years. Photos. Oh, gosh. It's been great going through all the old photos and various friends' comments on the phone. It's been really good. I bet when you think of my mom, maybe the word quiet comes. Until you get to know her, and then she can visit and visit and visit with you. Well, she believed in a God who loves us, as my brother said. And she had a gift that he gave her, and I tried to put a word to that gift. And I finally came up with it. Mercy. She had the gift of mercy. That's very attractive. She touched many with it. She was free with her hugs and just, well, ignored your flaws. Adjectives, warm, sweet, and eager to learn about you. One thing she taught me many times in a merciful tone of voice, when I got a little haughty, "Di, don't be so hard on so-and-so. You don't know their real story." She was so right. Her prayers, very real, not phony at all. She believed in the one she was talking to. And we'd hold hands before our meals and thank God for providing our food and everything. And she would routinely add all the time, "Thank you, dear Lord, for giving me my two good eyes, my hands and my arms, my children, and my grandchildren." Her favorite scripture, I think, which she lived and quoted to me quite often, was "God is love." It came through card giving. I found many boxes of cards to be yet to be sent out. She had a card organizer. She took up the pen and ink, and every Christmas would make handmade Christmas cards for everybody. She's really pretty good. In a church group called the Lunch Bunch, her hands flew along, producing crocheted towel tops, hundreds, not just a few, hundreds. She still had plenty at the house. Knitted washcloths, hundreds. Afghans, oh, many. And little sweaters for my little ones. So I thought cards, crochet, sorry, and cash. These words kind of came to me. Here's some gas money, Di. Here's some vacation money, Di. Here's where I'm going to lose it. We could never afford vacations, guys. She provided our vacations every year for I don't know how many years. Birthday money, oh, we could always count on that birthday money. She had a funny thing. If I turned 68, I would get $168. You know, David, how old are you? 29. He got $129 for his birth. Just funny little things she did like that. So her generosity in all areas came so much from a heart that knew God is love. She was also frugal. My husband said to me the other day, we laughed so hard, she could squeeze a nickel so hard that Jefferson's face would turn purple. Well, I found at home coupons galore. We'd only go to sale racks and garage sales, oh yes, and never ever throw anything away. Someday somebody might need that. And she was right. I had forgotten that as the youngest of seven kids, she grew up on the other side of the tracks. And so money was a very precious thing and to be used with care. So right now for my mom, for her, Ecclesiastes 12:17 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Mom was a lovely and lovely woman, and the truth of that, I believe, is because she knew the heart of a loving Savior, Jesus Christ. She knew that he had shed his holy, precious blood so her sins could be washed away. Who's the lady who wasn't sure about her sins being washed away? It's not us, it's Jesus' blood, pure, perfect blood, and it's going to wash it all away if we believe it. She knew that her goodness and any good thing she did for people was not what would allow her to be with him in heaven. He was too holy. We are not. She was not. She may have been a good person. She was. But she believed very simply Jesus died paying her debt, and it was all about justice and mercy. Justice and mercy. Well, for it's by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves, the scripture says. It is the gift of God. She often said with confidence, I'm ready to die. She rested in that belief that Jesus died and rose from the grave to save our souls. I'm looking forward to joining my Savior someday and to give my mom a hug like she always gave me. Would you pray with me? Thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for my mother and for the friend she was to all these people. And thank you for your blood that saves us. Amen.
Let us pray.
Creator God, you hold us close at all times in our eternal life. We know that it is from you that we come, and it is to your divine embrace to which we return. It is that knowledge that comforts us all the days of our lives. We give you thanks for the life of Harriet Messenger, for all the joy that her life held for her, and for all the joy she brought to the lives of others, for the love she knew from family and friends. We thank you for the life lessons that Harriet taught us, For she taught faithfulness by being faithful, gentleness by being gentle, loving by being loving. We thank you for our cherished memories of her commitment to this church. We remember her faithfulness to worship, her creativity in Lunch Bunch, her loyalty to Rebecca Circle, her support to our youth, and so much more. Hear us now as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Harry. Help us now to release Harriet to you. Look in love on her grieving family, her children, Diane and Ted, her son-in-law, Alan, and grandchildren, Ian and David, and on her grieving church family. Enable us to find strength in you and in each other. Help each of us to remember Harriet in ways that empower us to be like Harriet, your servant to the end of our lives. Hear us as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God has given us life, and through Christ we have been given new life. And we now commend Harriet Messenger to God's merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to save us, and who now lives and reigns forever with our holy Creator and the Spirit, one God, now and forever. And indeed, may that peace rule in each of our hearts, so that whatever we do it in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him, now and always. Amen.